morning, His Tab. How are you this morning? I said, good morning, His Tab. How are you this morning? Are you blessed and highly favored of the Lord this morning? I know I am. Let's stand together and get ready to bless God, because He's worthy of my blessing. I think if He's worthy of my blessing, He's worthy of our blessing as a whole, as a congregation. Amen. So let's stand together, get ready, invite the Holy Spirit in. Father, we just thank You that we could come into Your house this morning. We thank You that we can come and give You praise and we can honor You. I pray, God, that You would purify our hearts, make us clean, God, that our worship would be that first fruit of worship. It would be that sacrifice of praise, God, that we will bless You, that we will give You honor, that we will glorify You, for You alone are worthy of praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You're calling me over. You're pulling me close, yeah. With love You surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With Your grace You redeem me. You restore my soul. Here we go. Now I hate You, yeah, because of. Here we go. You hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in You again. You hold. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in You again. Oh, I'm made new. Oh, I'm made new. You're making me stronger. You're healing my heart. With Your hands, You're holding me. You set me apart. Now I'm made new because of You. Yeah, you hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in You again. Oh, I'm made new. You're healing my heart. With Your hands You hold me. You have set me apart. Here we go.
Now I'm made new.
Because. Sing it again. Now I'm.
Now I'm.
I'm made new. Because. You gotta do it one more time. I'm made new.
Now I'm made new.
Because of God. Come on, sing. You are. You are my salvation. I will not fear. No, no. You're the strength of my life. I won't fear. Sing it again.
You are my salvation.
I won't ever.
Won't fear.
Cause I'm praying new. Oh, yes, I'm praying new. Amen. Let's sing it again.
You are my salvation. I will not fear.
Oh, no.
You're the strength of my life. I will
sing it again.
You are my salvation.
I will not fear. I gotta ask you, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Oh, would you, or evil, a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, on the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Oh, sing it again. There is power. There's power in the blood. trust in that life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blue.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blue.
Thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all our sin. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son to pay the debt I could not pay. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. I said you're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Come on, sing it. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Thank you. God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Come on, give a shout unto the Lord. You are worthy. worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus.
You are worthy. You are worthy of praise.
Come on, give the greatest shout you've ever given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
God is so good. He reigns. Amen. He reigns. No matter what's going on in your life, you can have a confidence in Him. He is going to take care of you. He's a faithful God. Amen. Turn to someone and say, my God is faithful. That is the truth. Everybody on this planet can fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. Amen. I said amen. On your way back to your chair this morning, make sure you go to five people you don't know and say, God is faithful. Come on, make sure you say hi to somebody. Don't go sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. Say, my God is faithful.
One, rock solid faith happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on next steps, sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for next steps.
For you, he and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Good morning, HT. How is second service doing this morning? Are you guys excited? We got some people all over. I love it. I love it.
So we're really all good, right? You guys sound excited. Not really. Listen, we want to welcome all of the guests to the house this morning. We're not going to embarrass you or call you out, but if you are a first-time guest and you did not get a guest packet in the foyer when you came in, we want to get you a gift. So if you are a first-time guest, if I could have you raise your hand up or somebody that's with you, you know, maybe you're pointing them out because I got some peeps over here. Amen, amen. Keep your hands up. We got a packet coming to you. So in that packet, there's some information just explaining some things that we have here at His Tabernacle. We want people to know who we are, what we're doing, and where we're going. But after the service, make sure that you get to our guest reception right out on this side, on the other side of this wall. If you go out this back door to the left and down the hall, we have a guest reception we want to invite you to. It's an opportunity for you to meet our pastors and other ministerial staff, and we want to be able to get to know you better. Live stream, thank you for joining us at 11 a.m. Can we give the live streamers a round of applause? We're so glad to have you with us this morning. We hope that you enjoy it as we are here in-house. We had a phenomenal worship service. You're in for a good word today. Amen? Are you guys ready? Are you guys excited? You don't sound it. I don't think I should give the microphone over to Pastor Spencer until I hear at least a little bit more excitement. You think they're ready, Pastor? All right.
Praise the Lord. One of my most favorite parts of the service is receiving the offering. How in the world? I told you church is all about money. No. No, when you understand what it means to give to God, you can't ever outgive him. So this is one of the most exciting times of the service, because when you give to God, when you obey the Lord, when you live in the principles of tithing, seed, and alms, you know you can't fail. Amen? Turn to someone and say, you can't fail. You can't. When you live in obedience to the Constitution, the Word of God, you know that God is obligated to follow through with his portion of the Word. He's a covenant God. And the great part is that when we tithe, turn to someone and say, I'm a tither. Now, maybe you just prophesied, hallelujah, as long as you don't prophesy, hallelujah, amen. You just prophesied that maybe you've never tithed before. This is a great day to start. Well, how do I know that? Because this is the day the Lord has made. And I declare my God as the Lord over everything that I have. I want to remind you the principles of access versus ownership. Ownership is when we take ownership of what God has given us. When you take ownership, the problem is when it's gone, it's gone. The Bible says when we take ownership of what is the Lord's, we actually have holes in our pockets. Anybody ever find out that all of a sudden you had good money and now it's gone? It goes quick. But you see, with the Lord, when we learn the principles of access through obedience, through tithing, sowing, and reaping, we know that whatever heaven has, we have. That means there's nothing that God will withhold from you. He is a great God. He is a good God, and he'll always take care of his children. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. How many believe the word of God is true? I said, how many believe the word of God is true? The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. How many believe the word of God is true? Some people say to me, well, Pastor, I don't believe that money stuff is true. Well, then you can't believe salvation is true either, because it's in the same book. How many have faith enough to be saved? Well, then you definitely have faith enough to trust God with your finances. For what's greater, money or your soul? If your soul is greater, then it's easy to trust God with your finances. Amen? I said amen. And so what happens is, as we learn to trust God, you'll find he'll open the windows of heaven. Now, what is that? Bishop really helped inspire that in us as he described what it means. The Bible says he'll open the windows of heaven. Well, have you ever seen a window on the ceiling that you can open? Well, no. Windows are right here. So why are we looking through a window in heaven? Why? Because God is a God of vision. God is going to put vision in your spirit. As you're a tither, you're going to see greater things than you've ever seen before. God's going to move in your life financially more than you've ever moved before. This year, I'm excited. My wife and I were able to give the most we have ever given in the history of our lives. And you know what? I have nothing missing, I have nothing lacking, and I have nothing broken. Amen? Except my dog. He does mark up my floors. I need to work on that one, but Overall, there's nothing. God's been so faithful to us. My wife and I don't just talk about this. We live this. And this church lives this. Turn to someone and say, thank you. What do you mean? Well, because in this house, last year we gave $320,000. That's 26% of the church's budget to people, whether it be home missions or foreign missions. What does that mean? That means we don't just say it. We don't just expect other people to do it. This house does it. And last night, I just want to give, I'm not sure if Roz is here this morning, but Rosalind, there's Roz. I love you, Roz. Roz and Marlo. Roz hosted last night the Black History Month celebration. And we were so blessed as a congregation. And I said it right to the, I have witnesses, said it right to the whole congregation. I'm just receiving it for the whole body. Because really, you know, blessing the way we blessed this community, God has used us. And they appreciated His Tabernacle Family Church, gave a certificate of award for what we were able to do in our community. And I just thank Jesus that you and I love souls. God always loves a soul-winning church, amen? God loves a soul-winning church. God will always fund a soul-winning church. And so I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your tithes and your offerings. Now, if you're new to the house, this is what we do. We actually bring our offerings to the Lord so that no one feels shaken down in their seat. So let's all stand together. We also quote Deuteronomy chapter 28. Why? Because the Bible is true. How many believe the Bible? Then shout it out loud with me. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Who are you? I can't hear you. I said, who are you? Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream right now, I'm excited because you also are part of this church. You see, last week, there were between 300 and 400 people watching just as you are right now last Sunday morning. And I want to challenge you to be a tither, a sower. I want to challenge you to be a giver. Now, you see, you have a great opportunity because for just a second, you can click off and hit give, and you'll be able to do that before the Lord. So make sure that as a live stream church family member, that you're also tithing, sowing, and reaping.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. We love you, surround me, yeah, yeah. You give me hope, taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me. Here restore my soul. Here we go now. Now I'm being new because of.
Lord, how many of you have tried that text to give thing? Have you ever tried that? I need to try that. Does it work? It works? I should try that. Want to remind everybody, in just a few weeks, we have the Empowering Pastors Conference. I am so excited about that conference. You know what? We have, as I've told you of the last few weeks, we have Bishop Rick Thomas coming. And if you've never sat under his ministry, oh my goodness, bring a pad and a piece of paper. You are going to grow and learn. You cannot help to. He is just so filled with the anointing as a teacher of God, teaching you on the blueprint of how to increase your finances personally as well as in the house of God. Now, also, we have
Pastor and Dr. David Ireland out of New Jersey. He pastors a church of 7,000 people in New Jersey. And wow, what a man of the Spirit. He's literally known all over the world as one of the most powerful men of God who moves in the word of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit. And he's going to be teaching us the blueprint on how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And I just want to encourage you, this house is such a giving church, such a generous church. We are the... what we do is we help the pastors. Now, most of the pastors that we minister to at His Tabernacle Family Church, and some of you might not know that, but we minister to churches literally all over the United States. In fact, we just got a call from Kentucky. There were only 3 coming. Now there are 9 coming from Kentucky. Very exciting. But what we always come to the body for is because we want to bless these pastors. We want to help them. Remember, if you bless a pastor, you haven't blessed a pastor, you bless an entire congregation. And we have a lot of pastors that come that can't afford anything. In fact, one local pastor just sent down 2 registration fees because he can't make it and he wanted to sponsor somebody. It's very exciting. And so what we always do is usually a conference like we have here is $249 to $300+. You know, it depends on the place. And what we do is we only charge $99. And then what we do is we charge the pastor's wives $49, and then we completely reinvest that $49 back into the pastor's wife. How many of you know the pastor's wives need love too? They're really, most of the time they're forgotten. And so we reinvest into them. And then all the staff members are $49. And that is one of the cheapest, least expensive conferences that any of these pastors can go to. And then we feed them every single night. So we're able to, they don't have to spend money if they get a hotel. Usually the Fairfield offers them free breakfast. The church, we offer them free supper. So all they have to do is buy their lunch. It actually enables them to come and to be changed. And as I said last week, 4 pastors already have not left the ministry because of the conference over the last 2 years. So I just want to say thank you. Turn to someone and say, thank you so much for sowing into pastors. Man, I tell you something. When you sow into pastors, you change your life. It's good ground. We have the ushers, and we're going to receive a seed. And again, we're just putting the plates in the back. We're not taking another offering. But if you want to sow into the pastors' conference to be able to help pastors come and bill and pay the bill with us, it's about $20,000 to pay this whole thing. And we're believing God to pay it off in just a few weeks. So if you would like to do that, if you'll just raise your hand, the ushers will come with an envelope, and they'll hand it to you. And the offering plates will be in the back to do that. Amen? Boy, what a great day, huh? I've been talking a lot today. Where's my wife? She's in children's ministry this morning. Many people don't know, but for 10 years, she led and built the children's ministry. And she had an opportunity. Somebody gave her an opportunity to go in there this morning and to do the 9 to 11-year-olds. And she said, well, I hope you know that you're going to have to get like 3 teachers, because once they experience the fun that we're going to have, they'll never catch up. She really is that good. I've seen her hold 75 kids at attention, 9 to 11-year-olds at attention at one time. And they love it. She's just so gifted. So she's having fun in the other room. Can we just give a shout to her, Pastor Rhonda? Amen. Now, I'd like to cover some business. Oh, intro. Oh, that's right. Here we go. We'll have to do that later. I'm sorry. Laura Lee took photographs at the Uproar talent show. And if you did pictures, they're available for you. So make sure you grab them. Amen. See Laura Lee. Laura Lee, stand up and wave at everybody. She's really pretty. No, you got to turn around so everybody can stare at you. Thousands and thousands of people. Amen. This morning, I'd like to handle some business. And for those who are...
rich thing or a poor thing. In fact, when a real move of God hits, we ain't gonna care where you came from or what you've been through. All we know is the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life.
In this moment, to wake up to the power of the Holy Ghost and to declare, the devil won't have my generation.
Out of you, the world's gonna say, I wanna be like that. I wanna look like that. I wanna reflect that. And when that happens, you're gonna say, well, you can.
Spiritually, you might be that man, but spiritually, there's a new creation that's been formed, waiting to arrive.
When you're scared to invite someone to church, you procrastinate. When you procrastinate, you worry that it might be too late. When you worry that it might be too late, you resort to desperate measures. When you resort to desperate measures, you end up on the 6 o'clock news and become ostracized by your entire community. When you become ostracized by your entire community, you're forced to relocate to Possum Neck, Mississippi, and change your name to Skeeter. Don't relocate to Possum Neck, Mississippi, and change your name to Skeeter. Invite someone to church.
Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs chapter 11. Boy, what a transition, huh? Proverbs chapter 11. This is the theme for the year, the message or the verse for the year. And it's so powerful because this is the year of generosity. And you are the generous church. And the power of God is so exciting because generosity, getting down to the very meaning of it, means something more than is expected or more that's needed, more than what is needed. And so God is a generous God. He is a powerful God, and he loves to be generous. We've gone over how most people actually, in their mind, serve a God that's poor, that's depleted of love, that's depleted of action, that cannot meet your needs, that cannot stand for you. But truthfully, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing that he cannot do. Can I hear an amen? He wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. The greatest thought that you have, God says, you've just started to believe. You haven't even really started to believe how much I actually have for you. God loves you so much, and his love is extravagant, and his love is generous. And today I want to talk about a part of his love and a part of the principle of God's kingdom. Now I want to remind you that you cannot be a member of the kingdom of God. Membership is relationship, but citizenship is the right that God gives all who confess Christ as their Savior. When you and I are citizens of God, when you are citizens of heaven, then we have the privilege to step into the blessings of what God has for his children and also for his citizens. You and I mean, we're so blessed. Everything that we do, everything we touch can be and is blessed as long as we know how to ascertain, as long as we understand the keys to the kingdom. Now, we talked about the keys, that there's more than one key. And as we learn the principles of the keys of the kingdom, then we learn how to open up heaven's supernatural power in our life. You see, when you're part of the kingdom, that dual citizenship that you have, you are, yes, a person that's on this planet. You're a citizen of the United States if you live here. But yet, you are a dual citizen because your greater citizenship is with heaven. And when God is your king and the word of God is your constitution, then God's word is above this natural world. That God's supernatural power is above this natural world's power. That with God on your side, you cannot fail. That God, by his power, but God by his love, has released in our lives the capability and ability to change this world, this natural world's system, to God's promise and principle. So today, it's so important that we recognize that God wants to use you and that God wants to reveal more keys to you.
Today I want to talk about the generous blood. You know, churches have stopped preaching about the blood of Jesus. They don't want to preach about the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus is unpolitically correct. It is something that is offensive when you start talking about blood. It's something that doesn't make people comfortable when you start talking about blood. But there's a message that is so powerful here because without the blood of Jesus Christ, not one person in this room can be born again. That this is a bloody gospel. Well, I didn't figure you're going to get too many amens. This is a bloody gospel. This is a costly gospel. And as believers, as sons and daughters of God, as those who are in the room that might not know Christ, I want you to recognize you do not get to heaven except by the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot get to heaven by being a member of a church. You cannot go to heaven because you were baptized as a child. You cannot go to heaven because you're a good person. You cannot go to heaven because you're a preacher. You're the only way to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And there's only one way. And that's to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ so that your sins are forgiven. You see, our God is so generous with his blood. The Bible says the generous soul shall be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. I want you to recognize that God understands his own principles. As we studied the principles of the seed, we recognize that God himself didn't just declare the principle of the seed, but lived the principle of the seed. How do we know that? Because when it came time for the garden to be created, he didn't say, let it be. He planted the garden. Every seed shall take after its own kind. So as a believer, God lives by his own principles. And here in this same verse, we see the principles of God. The generous soul shall be made rich. You get the greatest harvest only when you plant the greatest seed. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to quote that together. I'm pretty sure everybody in the room knows it. Even if you're not born again, you've watched it at football games. Here we go. Ready? Let's say it all together. For God that he gave that whosoever you're all cheating, man. You're all looking at those screens, aren't you? Let's try it one more time. You ready? Can you say it with a little enthusiasm? This is how you sounded. Ready? From up here.
For God so loved the world.
Are you ready? One, two, three, for God. Man, we all know that verse. We've heard it since we were kids. Even if you weren't born again, you probably heard the verse. But this verse declares the generosity of our God, the generosity of his power, the generosity of his blood. For God so loved the world that he... You see, we must understand that for to receive, there must be a giving. There must be something given. There must be something sacrificed. You know, in the old days, we used to sing a song we talked about last night at the meeting. Someone brought up an old song. How many of you remember this? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. You remember that song? Watch this. We called it the windshield wiper song. We bring the sacrifice of praise. No, really. You see a whole congregation doing that. You want to practice? Here we go. Ready? Ready? Here, let's do it together. Ready? Listen, you don't move your arms, just your elbows. Ready? Here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of... Y'all did so good. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And watch, what's really interesting is the church has adopted a strange mindset. It's almost like, well, you know, I'll give him what I got left over. Well, you know, I'm going to give him what, you know, I just don't feel good today. Or, you know, I just had a fight with my husband or wife on the way to church. Well, you know, I just don't feel like it today. Well, I guess I'll just raise my hands. The sacrifice of praise, every time that a sacrifice was required by God, it was the very best that they could have. It wasn't like something they took out of their back pocket. It wasn't something that they had left over. It was the very best. It was a lamb without spot or blemish. It was perfection. You see, when you and I give our best, we know that God is going to do the rest. Can I hear an amen? And I want you to know that God, by his very power, his love, the generosity of our heaven, the generosity of our King, and the generosity of his blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His love is that he wants to be generous with his blood. When the church understands the blood of Christ, it changes everything in your life. In fact, I teach the worship team that when we find a, sometimes it's really, you can really sense a demonic attack even in a church service at times. Where it's like, you know, you're worshiping the best you can, but there's no way to break through. I've always taught them, I said, when that occurs, this is what you do. You start singing blood songs. Why? Because the devil understands it's the blood of Jesus Christ that destroyed him. Can I hear an amen? The blood of Jesus Christ defeated him. That he knows that he cannot overcome any believer because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood is your hedge of protection. The blood is the process in what is released for the power of God. And the devils always know that it's time to run when you start talking about the blood. A lot of people have said a lot of things. Well, you know, I can go to heaven because I'm a nice person. Let me tell you, the fact is this, that all these other understandings and beliefs, their God is still dead. But our God shed his blood. And when he shed his blood, when that blood started falling down off the cross, started going over the wood, started mingling with the dirt at the bottom, that cross, to some it just looked like blood. Yep, the poor guy's dying. But to those that were in eternity, to those that were in heaven, man, I want you to recognize, they knew redemption was drawing nigh. To those that were in hell, there was a little bit of a celebration. They didn't realize that. They thought they were going to kill him. But I want you to know, on the third day, that blood took on the rest of its power by destroying every work of the devil. Today we are here because of the generosity of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not a weak church. We are a powerful church because God's blood has given us the power in this world and the world to come. You see, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. This is the bloody gospel. In the Old Testament, I want to remind you that there was no animals killed until Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first animals were killed. Why? Because remember when they sinned, they ran and hid themselves and covered themselves with leaves. There was shame in them. They were ashamed. You see, sin brings shame. Sin is not of God. But the fact is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person on this planet has sinned. But I want you to know, the first Adam brought death, but God had a plan in order. But God had a generous plan of passion and love, and the blood of Christ that would come, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. The plan was that his son would be given, the very best that he had, the son without spot or blemish, for Christ was without sin while he walked on this earth. I want you to recognize that he took our sin on him so that we could be free. When we don't recognize the power of the blood, then we think about religion. Religion will damn you. Feeling comfortable because you come to church. Listen, you're not born again because you come to church. You're not born again because you become a member of a church. You're born again because you've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. And there's no other blood that can wash your stains away. You see, what I love about the blood of Christ is that when you receive Jesus as your Savior, for if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The moment you confess that, the Bible declares that your old sins are passed away, that now you become brand new, that you're a brand new person in Christ. And today, today. You see, what happens is now God sees you not in sin, but he sees you in the blood of Christ. And when he sees you in the blood of Christ, he sees you perfect. Without the blood of Jesus, you and I can't be in front of God. And this is the delusion that has seeped into the body of Christ, because we think that being good gets us to heaven. It doesn't get you to heaven to be nice. You can be the most sincere person on this planet and still not make it. You can say you believe in God, but if you are never washed in the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, even the demons believe in God and tremble. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on now. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I said nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this: For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundations of the world. What does that mean? That means if you don't accept the blood of Jesus, see, this is the power of the blood. Because you and I are sinners, how many here have ever sinned before? Twice? Some of you didn't raise your hand. That was your first one. Because we've all sinned, that means somebody has to pay the price for the sin. See, this is the bottom line. In the old covenant, they would slaughter an animal. Some poor little sheep, ba-ba, black sheep. Ba! You ever heard a sheep blat? Sounds just like a baby. Ba! Because of sin, here, this is the reality. Because of sin, somebody has to pay the price for that sin. The lawbreaker, I remember not too long ago, my daughter called us and told us that she got pulled over on the highway on Route 88. And I said, how fast were you going? They said they gave me a ticket for more than I was going. And I said, yeah. Well, let me tell you, that bill was over $650. I was not paying that bill. I did not break the law. And she's a saver, so she had, you know, money in the bank. And that money left the bank. Why? Because somebody has to pay when the law is broken. There is always a penalty when the law is broken. And the fact is that before Jesus Christ, the animals were paying the price. But thank God for the Messiah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Son of God. Thank God that he loved us so much that he sent him. That Jesus paid the price so that our sins could be washed away. I didn't say covered, but I said when you confess with your mouth that Christ literally washes every single sin away. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And at that moment, we are brand new people. At that moment, we are new in Christ. At that moment, we are babes in the gospel. At that moment, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new man. I am a new woman. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. It amazes me on how we don't talk about the blood anymore. But you see, we've got to. Because it was so costly. You know, over the years, you've heard me talk about the actual crucifixion and what it looked like. And, you know, many times we see a crucifix and we'll see a little bit of blood dripping down the face of Jesus. But actually, it was such a bloody gospel. It was such a bloody price that he paid for you and I to be free from our sins. It was not just a trickle here or there, but literally, he was beaten to the place where you could hardly recognize his life.
The Bible says that they put a crown of thorns on his head, and that crown of thorns, they had 3-inch spikes. It's actually called the thorn of Christ now. 3 inches long, and it was wrapped in that crown form. And they literally took sticks, and they beat it into his head. Have you ever seen a head wound? Have you ever bumped your head and cracked it open a little? How much blood comes? Man, the blood that was pouring down Christ's face because he was being penetrated by those thorns that were entering into his head. But not only that, they ripped his beard out. Man, they didn't just pluck his beard out. They ripped his beard out. They punched him in the face until you could hardly even recognize who he was. They took his back and they beat him with a flagellum to the place to where literally, not even figuratively, literally, they could see the bowels from the exterior. Then they put a robe on him and they mocked him and they jeered him and they dared him. If you are the Christ, then do something about it. But you see, Jesus, he was not looking at the pain. He said, I count it all joy that he went to the cross. Oh, Hebrews, he counts it all joy. How could he count it joy? Because the blood that was going to be shed made it available for you and I to say, Jesus, wash my sins away and make me a new person. They then laid him down on that cross, and they took 5 to 7-inch spikes, and they drove it through his wrists as he hung there, and they drove it through his ankles. They didn't drive it through his front of his feet. They drove through his ankles, and he sat like this. The horrible part about crucifixion that the Assyrians created and the Romans said was brilliant, the most horrific torture that could ever be brought upon mankind. The only way to get any air out of your body or in your body was to literally push up on those spikes that were driven through your ankles. So every time you needed a breath, how many breaths have you breathed since I've been standing here? Can you imagine having to put your whole weight of your body on those spikes that are driven through your ankles just to exhale? You see, that's what would kill them. If they did not exhale, they would asphyxiate. So every single time that Christ needed a breath, he had to push himself up on those spikes that were going through his ankles so he could exhale, then inhale, then push up again. So he'd exhale, so inhale. The Bible says that he was being tortured. Science and the physical world, the physicians declare that on that cross, your eyeballs, they start to dry out. Now you're becoming a person that your eyeballs are like sandpaper and your tongue begins to swell. We look at the price that he paid, but why he paid the price is more powerful. It is the most generous type of blood that could ever be shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He did all of that because he saw you. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. You see, the generous passion of our Christ, the generous blood of our Christ is that those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He loves you so much. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Jesus we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin. Everybody shout, my sin. You know who hung him to that cross? It wasn't the Romans. It was us. If sin didn't need to be forgiven by the blood of Christ, then God would have chosen a different way. But there had to be a lamb without blemish or blot. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. Many times we forget that the cost of Calvary was not a swooning, but literally a torture. And the blood that dripped down into the ground and the blood that was seen dripping down that tree was not just blood of another man that died on Calvary. It was a man, the Son of God, who is all man and all God in the same flesh. And he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and to be a man. Why? So that he could be a Messiah that understands every trial and tribulation, yet without sin. So he could give us the power to live without sinning. You see, Christ knew that without him dying on that cross, we'd have to pay the price ourselves. Now listen, the price that we'd have to pay ourselves is not a small price.
That's why I don't always understand why people play with sin. The wages of sin is not physical death. Man, we're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But the death that we're talking about is when you die and you don't know Jesus, you're going to get cast into the lake of fire. It's not a party. You're not going to hang out with your friends. It is completely separated. You'll never talk to another human being. You'll never sleep. You'll never rest. You'll never be without pain. The worms will eat your flesh, but it will never be consumed. You'll find the smell and the horror of hearing the screams of the torment. You'll smell the burning of the flesh. That will be you for all of eternity. Why? Not because God doesn't love you, but because Christ does love you. He paid the price, but you said, skip you, Jesus. I want to pay my own price. Nobody in this room has to pay the price of the lake of fire. Jesus paid for it. But yet so many reject the blood. They don't receive the blood, or they treat the blood as cheap grace. What do you mean cheap grace, preacher? Shall we continue in sin because grace abounds? God forbid. Many times, especially in the old covenant, when somebody sinned, there was immediate retribution. There was immediate payment for the sin that you did. So if you got caught in adultery, they didn't go, well, you know you should be better. No, they took you out and they stoned you to death. Talk about uncomfortable. It was not like, you know, you should be better. No, you remember Jesus was sitting there and all of a sudden they brought him a woman who was caught in adultery. You ever notice they didn't bring the man? Brought the woman caught in adultery and they said, what should we do with her? Because they knew the law. The law was she should be stoned to death. The guy should be too. And I love what Jesus did. He knelt down and started writing something in the sand. We don't know what he wrote, but he started writing in the sand. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they left. Why did they leave? Because he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Because it doesn't matter whether you're a liar or whether you're a murderer. The fact is that without the blood of Christ, you have to pay for your own sin. Can I hear an amen? And if you pay for your own sin, it's a lake of fire. But if you accept the precious, most generous blood of Jesus Christ, he'll wash every sin away. You'll have the newness of life, and you'll have the right to walk with God for all of eternity. This is not religion. This is not some thought or theory, but this is the word of God, and God's word is yea and amen. And I encourage you today, if you don't know Christ, you've got to know him. I'm not talking know about him. I'm talking know him. I'm talking about applying the blood to your life. Why? Because when the blood is applied, you now step into eternity. You now step into the principles of God's kingdom. And now you can live a life that is not only successful on this earth, but successful in eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, but now at this very moment in Christ Jesus, you who once were so very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Matthew 26, verse 28, for this is my blood of the new and better covenant, which ratifies the agreement of being poured out for many as a substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19. For you know that you were not redeemed from your useless, spiritual, unproductive way of life inherited by tradition from your forefathers with perishable things like silver and gold. Listen, you can't buy your way into heaven. But you were actually purchased with the precious blood, that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Christ. You see, the power of the blood is forgiveness. And every one of us in this room need forgiveness. That's why God says if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. Because who do you think you are? If you're forgiven much, why would you not forgive somebody else? Forgiveness that Christ paid for means that you and I were redeemed. We were bought back, which means it doesn't matter what the devil paid for.
Christ bought us back. Why? Because it was a priceless cost, a priceless blood. It does not matter. It does not matter what anybody says or does. I just felt a strong release of the anointing right there. Father, in Jesus' name. Christ is reconciling us. I love the word atonement. You know what the word atonement means? It means like it never happened. When you are washed in the blood of Jesus, how many of you have a past you wouldn't mind forgetting? How many have some issues in your past you wouldn't mind forgetting? How many of you have been burying them for years? Don't raise your hand. If you could go back and relive it, you'd do it different. The Bible says when you accept the blood of Jesus, when you are washed in the blood of Jesus, it's like it has never, ever, ever, ever happened. It will never be brought up by God again. It will never be thrown in your face again. It is God saying, listen, I don't know who you were then, but I know who you are now because you're washed in my blood. You are now a child of the living God. You are now my son or my daughter. You are now an heir and a joint heir of Christ. You are now my prince and my princess. You are the one that I'm going to invest in. And whatever my kingdom has is available for you. For my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is available for you as a blood-washed son and daughter of the Most High King. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking blood-washed. I'm almost done. Just because the blood washes your sins away doesn't mean you're not going to have consequences. I didn't figure I'd get many amens on that one. Just because you're blood washed doesn't mean there won't be consequences. How many of you recognize that if you don't want a consequence, you don't sin? We'll go over that one again. How many of you don't like consequences? Ready? Don't sin. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus won't wash your sin away. But sometimes there's consequences to the sin that you have gone on to. Christ has forgiven you, but you'll still have to pay a consequence. Look at David, King David. Man, what a powerful young man. He's out tending the sheep, and all of a sudden he gets called in by his daddy, and there's a prophet of God. And the prophet of God pours the anointing over his head and declares him the king of Israel. Not too long after that, he sees Goliath, a giant, mocking the children of God. What does he do? He goes and kills the beast with a little stone, cuts his head off, and man, what an amazing victory. What a powerful man of God. Now he's king. And one day he walks out on his balcony and he looks out and there's a chick sunbathing naked. And he says, hubba, hubba, hubba. Now that is some hot woman. Man, she butt naked. She looked good with a tan. He looks over and he says, hey, go get her. He says, no, David, that's Uriah's wife. He's one of your main guys. He's out in the war right now. Man, you don't want to do that. That's his wife. And he says, I'm the king. Go get her. He brings her in. He sleeps with her. Has a wild time. And then finds out he got her pregnant. So he devises a plan. You ready? He says, I got this thing. He says, I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to call Uriah back, have him go in and sleep with his wife and let him think he got her pregnant. So Uriah comes back from the war, from the fighting, and instead of going into his wife, he lays out on the door stoop because he said, what kind of guy would I be if I went and slept, had sex with my wife, and my men are being shot at and trying to be killed? And David realized his devilish plan didn't work. So he says, I've got this thing figured out now. He says, Send him to the very front of the war, to the place that you know he'll be killed. And David had that man killed. He didn't do it with his own hands, but he did it with his own order. On purpose, David murdered him. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Man, he just still didn't repent. You know something? What I found about the Lord? If you're quick to repent, he'll cover your sins. For love covers a multitude of sins. But if you will not repent quickly and call upon the blood to wash your sins away, then he, because of his love, will reveal it so that you will be saved from yourself. Nathan, the prophet, went up to him and he said, listen, king, we've got a situation. We've got a man that had one sheep and a man that had a whole flock. And the man with the one sheep, the one with the whole flock said, I want that one sheep. And King David said, he deserves to die. And Nathan said, it's you. I don't think he liked the end of that story. And that's where we get Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Renew a right spirit with me. David repented, but even though he repented, he said, wash me with hyssop. Wash me by the blood. Even though he was forgiven and God restored him, his son still died. Folks, if you don't want a consequence, don't sin. Let's go through that one more time. If you don't want a consequence, if you don't want a consequence, and just because you don't see immediate retribution, don't take advantage of the grace of God. For God never gave us cheap grace. It cost him everything he got. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. You see, as believers, God is calling us to be washed in the blood and to live holy. Many of us don't like to talk about holiness. Holiness is something that the church don't chat about much anymore because we want to look like the world. We want to smell like the world. We want to be like the world. We don't want the world to reject us. But the Bible says simply this, that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. That means if you're living for the Lord, you're going to live holy. You're going to have people hate you simply because you're living holy. It's not that you're better, it's just that you're washed. It's not that you're better, it's just that you're washed. How often do you wash your clothes? Don't answer that out loud, too. The person next to you is praying, Jesus, let it be often, let it be often. One day there was a man who had a friend, a close friend, and actually was his boss. And his boss was extremely wealthy, and he was a man that caused himself lots of trouble. He was a man that had a spending issue, and he caused an enormous amount of debt, over $60,000 of debt. Man, I mean, he would buy this, he had over $35,000 just in credit card debt. He was going through a real hard time. I'm talking like the stress, not sleeping. And his boss, who was also his friend, was extremely wealthy. So $60,000 to him was really no big deal. It was a sacrifice because, you know, ultimately it's not his family. But he went and he paid the bill. He paid every debt that this man owed. He also got his credit report. You do know that people can get that for you, huh? He got his credit report and called his friend in one day, sat him down at the desk and said, hey, you know, I see that you're really, you know, you got some issues. And the dude starts thumbing through all the debt that he has, and he's freaking out a little bit. You know, when you see the stress of your bills and knowing that you might not be able to pay them, and he's starting to stress out, and he's starting to freak out. And he just looks at his boss, and he says, man, I'm doomed. And he says, oh, you didn't look at the front page. He flipped back to the front page and it said in big red letters, paid in full. I want you to know today, you and I cannot pay the debt. You and I cannot pay the creditors enough. You and I will never have enough money in our pocket to pay for our salvation. But on the front of that page, it says paid in full because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he chose to pay the price for our sin that we should be paying for privately. I'm here to tell you, the blood is powerful.
There's an evangelist named John Wesley in the 1700s. He was returning home one night from a service, and he was robbed. He was mugged. Listen, don't mug preachers. It's a bad habit. They mugged him. This guy mugged him and took everything that he had. He didn't have a lot, but took it all. And while he's walking away after mugging him, the man of God, John Wesley, says, "Hey, stop, I have something I want to give you." The man turns around and comes back. He says, "What is it?" He says, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin." The thief hurried away as Wesley prayed that his words would bear fruit later. Years later, at a Sunday service, a man that he had never met, did not know personally, walked up to him and said, "I know you don't know me, but I was your mugger." He said, "I started regretting the life that I lived, and I remembered what you said, that the blood of Jesus will wash my sins away." He said, "I got on my knees. I confessed Christ." And he said, "Watch this." He said, "Now God has made me a successful businessman." I'm sure you've heard about Corrie Ten Boom. She was a woman that would hide Jews during the World War II, and what a horrific event, and her sister was killed right in front of her. Years later, she's preaching a gospel message, preaching about the blood of Jesus and the power of God, and a man that she recognized walked up to her. He was the Nazi that literally killed his sister. And he said, "I want to ask your forgiveness." And she not only forgave him, she embraced him. Why? How can someone do that? Because nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, when you know the blood of Jesus, your passion is that not one should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. It's not about religion. It's not about liking people. It's about eternity. For every single one of us are eternal beings. If you're lost, the blood is not there. But if you're saved, you're covered, you're washed, you're clean, you are a new man, you are a new woman, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, you're an heir of God, you're a joint heir of God. Oh, I could keep going and going and going. Today, are you washed by the blood of Jesus? It's an old song that Brother Ted used to sing. He still sings it. "I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. For me, one day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. I know it was the blood that saved me." Help me, Brother David. Hallelujah for the blood. "I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. I know it was the blood for me." Come on, sing it. Sing about the blood. "I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, my Jesus died on that cross. I know it was the blood." There's power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hold on now. I believe the power of the blood's in this room. Some of you need sins forgiven. Some of you are living in sin. Some of you are practicing sin.
and you're saying to yourself, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of it. I want you to know today, if you apply the blood, the power of the blood will break the power of sin in your life, and you can be free and free indeed. I believe that God will work miracles today. If you need healing in your body, apply the blood of Jesus. If you need protection, apply the blood of Jesus as we sing this song again. Are you ready? There's power in the blood.
Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah! Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Okay, now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know you need to apply the blood today. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to have your sins washed away, have somebody else pay what you should be paying for, so that you can become a child of the Most High King. Can I hear an amen? So today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you all to bow your heads. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to apply the blood to your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Five. Come on, I'm going to count down. Five, four, three. Get your hand up. Two. Last call. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm excited for you. The blood is washing your sins away. Ladies in the same row. Glory to God. Come on. Is there anybody else? You need your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Come on. Five, four, three. Get your hand up. Two. And last call being one. Father, I thank you that today we are not the same people we were before we were washed. That today, God, we are sons and daughters, and we will give away the blood. We will share the blood, for as freely as we receive, freely give. God, lead us to someone this week that we'll share the gospel with, that they may hear the blood of Jesus and have their sins washed away for the glory of God. And everybody shouted. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quick. If I could have both of the ladies meet me right over here, I want to pray for you, lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Meet me right down here. Everybody else, enjoy your week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.
One day when I was lost, you died upon the cross. I know it was blood for me. I knew it was blood. I knew it was blood. I knew it was blood that saved.